welcome to the latest MPFT podcast focusing on the transformation of community mental health care in South Staffordshire. My name is Lisa Williams, and joining me for this chat today are...
So my name's Lola Collishaw. I'm one of the new PCN mental health practitioners. My professional background is occupational therapy, having worked in the community teams before and sort of in various other roles.
Hi, I'm Dawn Anderson. I'm a mental health practitioner in the Stafford Town PCN. I'm a mental health nurse by background.
And I'm Ian Sabberton, operational manager for primary care mental health integration in South Staffordshire.
Thank you all for joining the podcast today. So in this podcast, we're going to be discussing the role of a mental health practitioner. So thank you, Lola and Dawn, for joining. It'll be really interesting to hear from you both. So we'll ask you about your backgrounds and why you wanted to become a mental health practitioner, along with what you want to achieve in your role. So it's probably best if we start with Ian first. So Ian, can you tell us a little bit about mental health practitioners?
Yeah, of course. So the mental health practitioners are a new role that's joint funded between Midlands Partnership Foundation Trust as a mental health community trust, community provider, and the primary care networks, which are groups of GP practices who are working together to meet the health needs of a local population. The mental health practitioners work within GP practices, and they are able to see people who would perhaps contact the surgery expressing some mental health needs. Mental health practitioners are able to provide a mental health assessment as a sort of first point of contact, where somebody may otherwise have phoned up and asked to see a GP or an advanced nurse practitioner within the practice. So it's about having mental health support, a mental health assessment at the earliest possible point.
Thanks, Ian. So I think you've kind of touched on my next question a little bit already, but would you be able to go into a little bit more detail about why mental health practitioners have been embedded in PCNs and what the benefits are?
Yeah, of course. As I was saying, the mental health practitioner operates as a sort of first point of contact around mental health needs. So somebody was contacting the practice expressing a mental health need, rather than seeing one of the other health professionals in the practice. They can book straight in with a mental health practitioner and have a mental health assessment. The intention of that mental health assessment being that if we can establish somebody's needs as soon as possible, we can then, as the mental health practitioners can then signpost or support people to access further support, whether that's signposting to some of the things that affect people's mental well-being, like things like housing and debt, or whether that's things like the psychological therapy services, the secondary care mental health services, the community mental health teams. So they can actually sort of establish what might best meet somebody's needs as early as possible, rather than someone waiting for an assessment with the secondary mental health services. This is about getting that contact in as soon as possible.
Thanks, Ian. Right, so we'll go to Dawn for the next question. So Dawn, I know you're quite new in your role, but can you please tell me about what your role entails?
My role with as a mental health practitioner within the PCN is to provide mental health assessments for GP patients. So I can assess someone, triage them, signpost on to a range of voluntary, primary and secondary services, and then provide reviews if needed. We provide a bridge between primary and secondary services. We can offer support and advice to our GP, ANP colleagues around patients, and that's really proving to be helpful. So, for example, if somebody's engaging with secondary services, but they're saying to the GPs that it's not going well, I can have a quick look on notes and say, well, actually, yeah, they are engaging, or no, they're not. And it just gives the GPs some support with that. We work with everybody within the GP surgeries, so we've got links with the CLA, which is the Community Link Advisors, our wellbeing workers, as well as the other professionals in the surgeries. We've got a lot of voluntary sector resources that are available and can provide telephone numbers, email addresses, and some of those services we can directly put referrals in for patients. We can directly refer into secondary services and into primary services. So for example, we have direct access to IAPT and can book a first assessment appointment, which makes a journey really quick for a patient. We've also got access to online CBT services with SilverCloud, and some people prefer that. And sometimes we're giving lots of services, so we can have an appointment with somebody who maybe we book in with IAPT, but also we give them a lot of support group numbers for voluntary services as well that they can go away and access.
Thanks, Dawn. That sounds like a real transformation for the service users coming to their GPs. So the next question is for Lola. So can you go through how different the experience will be for people who come to their GP with a mental health problem now that you and other mental health practitioners are in post?
I think one of the things that they'll notice that a massive difference in is that we have a lot more time than they might get with other health practitioners in the GP surgery and the GP themselves. And also that we tend to explore a lot more issues. So when they come into us, it won't be just, you know, you can only talk about one issue. We want to know about sort of their social situation, what's going on at like work and their relationships, how are they generally, how's their general health, all of those things that sort of feed into mental health so that we can give them the best information and advice that's going to sort of make the most difference to them at that point in time. Part of the role, hopefully, is to help people transition as well. So I know Dawn touched on earlier about sort of how many different services we have almost at our fingertips, really. But part of the role also is to sort of discuss those options with the person and see what suits them. So like Dawn was saying, with SilverCloud, for example, we might have a conversation with the person about the benefits of sort of being in IAPT versus SilverCloud, what's going to suit them, how is it that going to fit in with their lives, have they got time, you know, to get time off work, or are they, do they feel comfortable asking for time off work to attend, say, for example, lots of different appointments at IAPT, or are they wanting to do something that's more self-guided, i.e. SilverCloud, and it's more remote? I think it's just a good space for people. So even if we don't end up referring on, you know, some people find that coming in and just being able to talk about their general problems that are affecting their mood and their anxiety levels for, you know, half an hour or so, sometimes out of that appointment itself, we can come up with some solutions or things that they can implement, you know, on their own without actually having to refer them on anywhere else as well.
Thanks, Lola. That sounds really, really beneficial. Something that I think would be good to find out from both of you, and we'll start with Dawn first for this. Can you tell me a bit about your background and what made you want to become a mental health practitioner?
So I qualified several years ago as a mental health nurse. And when I initially qualified, I worked within the private sector for a while, mostly in older adults. Then I started working within the NHS at St George's. So back then it was NHSP was the agency used. So I banked with the agency full time for a couple of years while I decided where I liked, what I wanted to do. And eventually settled permanently into forensic wards because I had a massive interest in how the criminal justice side of mental health worked. And after a few years on the forensic wards, I moved into a Cat B prison to increase my knowledge around it from the other side. And while there, it was a community model that we, the mental health team, worked to. So I had my own caseload, gave a lot of primary care level interventions with patients, and was able to see that actually those interventions and a lot of those were around things like anxiety, depression, self-esteem. It made a difference. And I really enjoyed being able to do that. Obviously, then COVID happened and changed the way the prison worked completely. So I went back to the wards. And I'd really enjoyed working in a community model and being able to deliver primary care interventions. So I initially saw a pilot post in Stoke for a very similar role to this. And it sounded really interesting. So I decided to look for posts that were in this area. And then when I saw the advert, I decided to apply. And it's a big difference from forensics, but it's really exciting, it's interesting, and the potential is massive.
Thanks, Dawn. That sounds really, really positive. Same question for you, Lola. So can you tell me a bit about your background and what attracted you to the role?
I think what attracted me to the role mostly was just the preventative element of it. I think I've spent a lot of time in roles that are sort of dealing with the aftermath of sort of a crisis and reablement and sort of getting a person back on their feet. But I hadn't really had much opportunity to try and sort of stop that process, you know, initially at the front door. And I thought it would be good just to sort of be able to experience giving that sort of preventative care to people. I would hope that perhaps more OTs hearing this might also put themselves forward for this role, because it is really good. It's really sort of diverse. There's so much variety in sort of what people bring to you as well. And also there's that excitement of being in sort of a new service and getting to sort of develop and shape your own practice, which also sort of really attracted me to the role as well.
Thank you. That's really, really interesting, both from really different backgrounds, but yeah, it's really positive. Thank you. Dawn, can you tell me, what do you want to achieve during your role as a mental health practitioner?
I mean, obviously, to be able to develop myself by learning new skills and learning more about the services that we can tap into to make patient journeys better and give them more support. And yeah, I think what I really want to achieve is to make that journey better. I think Lola said earlier, GPs only have really brief appointment times, and that can be really frustrating for a patient who wants to just tell you what's going on. So it's nice to be able to see somebody and know that they've walked away and they've been able to say what's said. They've been able to say what they want or what they're hoping for, and they walk away feeling like they've been heard. I mean, I'd like to see increased ease of access to mental health provisions, and I think this role will really help with that. And I think we're also helping to reduce the stigma of going to see a professional by being in a GP surgery rather than in a mental health environment. And that hopefully will help make things easier for people who are really struggling. And eventually, I'd like to see one of us in every surgery just expand the service that we're delivering to people.
I think a lot of what Dawn's kind of already said, really, especially following on from that point of expanding what we can do as there becomes more mental health practitioners available. You know, for me, sort of working between so many surgeries, I think, you know, if I was based in one or two, I could just give, there'd be so much more that I could give and do that I think would be absolutely 100% beneficial to sort of the people presenting at the surgery with mental health problems. I think in terms of sort of what I would like to see is that I'm hoping sort of over the coming months, as we become more established, that perhaps the GPs might start to feel perhaps a little bit less pressure in terms of people coming in with mental health difficulties. And also in terms of other services that we refer on to, you know, I would hope that they would also find that sort of the balance of the patients would shift to patients that they felt were sort of more suitable for the types of things that they were offering. That would be really good to see, sort of to cut down on, I suppose, what we would call not necessarily inappropriate referrals, but where a person might have been better suited to an alternative service. You know, that would be nice as well to think that we've made some inroads in that. And I suppose sort of the long-term goal would be to see the reduction in mental health problems that initially start off perhaps as things that could be resolved a bit easily with just some adjustment or some psychoeducation or a little bit of support, from becoming mental health problems that, you know, are, you know, very serious and enduring and require sort of lots of intensive levels of support. I think if we could see that sort of starting to reduce and the pressures of services reducing a little bit, perhaps as I've said, as if they see more appropriate patients to sort of what they're able to offer, I think that would be a really amazing outcome from sort of what we're aiming to do, really.
Thanks, Lola. So that all sounds really, really positive and like we're moving in the right direction in regards to providing the best support in the early stages of diagnosis. And I know we're in the early stages of the transformation, but Ian, can I ask you, what do you want the future to look like in regards to mental health care?
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. I think actually Dawn and Lola have probably expressed this really well. It is really positive. This programme of work has been really, really good. We've got 10 mental health practitioners in South Staffordshire already, with plans being put in place to increase that considerably over the coming years. It is really positive because we're seeing people as soon as possible, as both Lola and Dawn have talked about. What we would like to see in the future is that people can continue, as is happening now, we're able to contact their GP practice, contact the surgery, and actually book directly in with a mental health practitioner, receive a consistent and thorough assessment of their mental health needs, with the benefit and the outcome of that being that by intervening early and by supporting people early, we do prevent that from deteriorating. I think if we've got that assessment right at the outset, as early as possible, and we're able to support people to access secondary mental health services, the psychological therapies service, online self-help programs, other self-help, other voluntary sector organizations, then we're able to do everything we can to both support treating people's mental health needs as early as possible, and like we talked about, preventing mental health needs from worsening. And I think that for me is what I'd like the future to look like in terms of mental health care, so that we are able to see the right people and able to provide the right services at the right time.
Thanks, Ian. That's all from us for this MPFT Community Mental Health Transformation podcast. I'd like to thank our guests, Lola Collishaw, Dawn Anderson and Ian Sabaton. And of course, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. So if you'd like to listen back to any of our previous podcasts, you can do so by searching for the MPFT podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts and a range of other channels.